because all else is worthless compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ. Let us forget the past and press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, good morning, folks, and I'd like to welcome you. I would like to welcome you to 2021. Now, do you remember, I know I'm showing my age a little bit here, and some of you are going to show it in a moment, I'm sure, as well. Do you remember there was a tagline for a movie that came out some time ago? But when the movie came out, here was the tagline. It went like this. It said, "Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water." Remember that one, right? That's because remember, there's a classic movie, Jaws, 1975, right? Made everybody, it actually did have an effect where people were afraid to go in the water there, right? So, then a few years later then, the sequel, Jaws 2, comes out, which was awful, by the way, wasn't it? And then it just got worse from there. But that original, though, was great. The rest, not so much. Well, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, along comes Jaws 2. And just when you thought it was safe to say, 2020 is over, it's a new year, well, 2021 is coming here now, right? But I want you to know, though, that regardless of current circumstances, there is something we must all endeavor to do, and that is this, to press on. We're going to be looking in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. Philippians 3, verses 7 through 14 today. And for today, usually we use the ESV, the English Standard Version. Today, I'm going to be using the New Living Translation, the NLT today. So I like how it phrases these things, and it just makes it very simple and crystal clear for us to understand here today. But here is the point I want us all to take away from our message, and that is this. Because all else is worthless compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ, let us forget the past and press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize. I think many of you know I love this. It's one of my favorite scripture passages, but I love this passage each year to reflect on this, to think on that, to teach on it, and sometimes even to preach on it at the beginning of a new year, because I think it's an important reminder for all of us that sometimes we need to just forget the past, forget what has occurred in the past, and to move on into what lies ahead. And I think that's especially good for us to be reminded of that now in this new year. But I want to give you a warning, though, before we go any further. As you know, occasionally I may say something that you might not like, but I want you to know that it's coming from a heart of love. At least I hope it is. It's coming from a heart of love and genuine concern, pastoral concern, but always in alignment. I do my best always to be in alignment with the Word of God. And so I think much of what we have to say, it's encouraging. We need to hear these things. But there may be a point where maybe you don't like what I say. And by the way, I think if you have a preacher who never says anything that doesn't make you a little uncomfortable or you don't like, probably not faithfully teaching the Word of God, right? Wouldn't you say so? Because that's one of the things that the Word of God does, then, is it can make us a little uncomfortable. So just a warning there. Okay, who's really curious now to know, what's he going to say that I might not like? Oh, believe me, when I get to it, you're going to know it, okay? You're going to know it when I get to it then. So, well, we are looking then at Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. But first, a little context here. As you know, Philippians is the joy epistle. That is a major theme throughout the book, is joy, that Paul wants us to know and experience the joy of the Lord, the joy of Christ, the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. Now, in the church there at Philippi, as it was the case in a number of other churches, there was a problem, though, with people who were infiltrating the church with false teaching, undermining the gospel message there. The gospel is what? It's the good news that we are saved. How? by Jesus Christ through his work for us. We're saved by grace through faith in him and what Jesus has done for us. And there are some then who are coming in and they were adding in works to that. And they wanted to make it not about what Jesus had done, but about what we must do. A works righteousness. And so these false teachers then were coming in and they were touting their religious credentials, saying about, look, well, you should listen to me because, you know, here's my impressive resume of why I'm such an expert or an authority on these things. So they were undermining the gospel of salvation by grace through faith with their works-oriented righteousness. And Paul sees this. Paul knows this is going on, so he must confront it. And look at what he says. These are, one of the things I appreciate about Scripture is sometimes it just tells it like it is, and he goes right out. And Paul was not afraid to be very blunt sometimes. Look what he says in Philippians 3, starting in verse 1. He says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Right? We rejoice in that salvation which is ours by grace through faith, right? Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Paul, tell us how you really feel about these false teachers, right? Says, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. Says, okay, these false teachers, they want to show their bona fides, their expert religious credentials. Paul says, all right, you want to argue about that? I'll put my credentials up for you. If you want to argue it on the basis of that. He says, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Verse 5, circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. Did you know that? How many of you knew that Paul was a Pharisee? Well, he was Saul then. He was known as Saul then. He was a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. Right? The very first time we see him in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, what is he doing? He's participating in the stoning of Stephen. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, under the law, blameless. He was a Pharisee who followed the law religiously. And he even participated in persecuting the church. In fact, he became infamous as a persecutor of the church. So you want to talk credentials, righteousness by works, credentials? Here, look at me, Paul says. I can top all of you. But then something happened, or should I say someone happened to him, right? Paul was suddenly, dramatically, powerfully converted on the road to Damascus. When he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, he was on his way to persecute some more believers. And Jesus stopped him and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? But when you persecute a Christian, you're persecuting Jesus himself. Why do you persecute me? He was instantly, everything changed. And Jesus told him, I have a new mission for you. You're not going to be a persecutor of the church anymore, but now you're going to be an apostle for me, one I am going to send. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. You are going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And he was an apostle to Jewish people too, right? But his primary mission was going to be to the Gentiles.
Thanks, Jesus.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Everything changed when he encountered the living Lord Jesus Christ. So now then, so Paul says, all right, you want to compare credentials? Yeah, here's my credentials. This is who I was. But you know what I think about all that right now? Well, let's find out what he thinks about it right now, or what he thought about it right then. Let's look at Philippians 3, verse 7. It says, I once thought these things were valuable. All those credentials. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Let's take a closer look at this text here and understanding this text. I want us to see here first then the infinite value of knowing Christ in verses 7 and 8. He says, I once thought these things were valuable. What were these things? What were the things he thought were so valuable? All the credentials we just read about, right? He thought that was right. He thought, man, I'm in good with God. I got this great because you couldn't have, in terms of a religious pedigree, you couldn't be any higher on the pole there than Paul was, Saul was, right? I once thought these things were to my profit, to my value. I thought, he uses a language here in the original language there of profit and loss. He says, I thought these things were such a profit from the world of business. You put something in the profit margin, and then you got other things in the loss margin. Well, man, he's got all these things in the profit margin. But now he looks at it, and he sees then that all of those things, they're not in the profit margin. They're in the wrong column. Where should it be? The loss column. Why? Because all of those things, rather than them making him righteous, what were they actually doing? Puffing him up with self-righteousness, works righteousness, thinking, hey, I'm right with God because I'm all this and I do all these things. You know, and this is the people just don't understand about the gospel. So many people think that the way to be right with God is to do what? To do good, right? To be a good person. But what does Scripture tell us about what people are truly? Is anybody really good? Does anybody do good? No, we are all sinful. We're all fallen. And there is no way, apart from Christ, that any of us can be found righteous to God. Because we do not do the good, we do evil. And so if we are trying to be right with God by our own efforts, our religion, our pedigree, having all the right doctrines, doing good works, obeying the law, God says, okay, if you want to do it that way, go ahead. How righteous are you going to be before God if you're going to say, if it depends on your ability to perfectly obey the law of God? You're not going to be very righteous at all, are you? None of us are. So now he sees all those advantages that he had, and that whole attitude, that isn't to his gain or his profit, it was a loss. Because it made him self-righteous. And now he saw that. And when did he realize that? When he encountered the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. See, this is all lost now. And in fact, all of that stuff, and in fact, anything else is what? Compared to the value, the infinite value of knowing Christ, all that other stuff is what? It's even as garbage. You maybe have garbage or rubbish. Do you know there's another way that that could be translated? Dung or manure would be the kinder way of putting it. You know, sometimes Scripture is very blunt. So I'll let you fill that in your own minds. I won't say it from the pulpit. But that's what he says here. See, all of our religion, all of our good works, all of our doctrines, all of our self-oriented righteousness, all the good things that we think we are and do, well, that's just that compared to knowing Christ. Knowing Christ. Infinite value. In fact, the only way that he or any of us can be righteous, can be right with God, is in Christ. You see, our righteousness is in Christ through our union with him. It was said, what does God require for us to be in right relationship with him? Well, we say righteousness or moral rightness or goodness. See, God can't stand sin. He hates sin, but he loves sinful people. So what are you going to do? He rightly hates sin. When you have a loved one that you care deeply about, and maybe that person is ill and you see what it's doing to them, do you love the illness or the sickness? No, you hate that illness and sickness, don't you? When you have a loved one who maybe is doing something, who's trapped by some kind of sinful, an addiction or something, do you love that addiction that loved one has? No, you hate it. Why? Because of what it does to that person you love so much. God hates sin, and rightly so. You know, like I said, I think we have this much understanding of what sin does to us. We know how awful it is, but I think if we were to see it from God's point of view, we have about this much understanding, whereas God's view, I think then we would really understand why God hates sin. But he loves you. He loves me. He loves sinful people. So what's he going to do? Well, he did for us what we could never do for ourselves. See, he requires perfection. And all of our best efforts, no matter, because some people, well, I'm a good person. I mean, and you know what? If we're going to start comparing ourselves to others, are there some people who are nicer people or better people than others in our world? Sure. But compared to God and God's standard, is anybody righteous? Is anybody? No. So what's he going to do? Well, he did then for us what we could never do for ourselves, which is to be perfect. Jesus came not just to die for our sins, he also came to live for us, to live perfectly for us, to obey perfectly for us. And so we're saved not only by the death of Jesus, we're saved by the life of Jesus. We're saved by his perfect obedience. And we're given his perfect obedience, his perfect righteousness. It's given to you and me by faith as a gift. So all of our best efforts to be right by obeying the law or doing good works, all of that, will not save us at all. Only the perfect righteousness of Jesus will. So Paul says, oh yeah, all that other stuff, well, that's garbage. That's that word compared to Christ, knowing Christ, and being found in him, and having a righteousness not of my own, but of his righteousness in Christ. So we're made right with God through faith in Jesus, in his life, his death, and his resurrection from the grave. In him, then, is our union with Christ. Paul says, you know what, anything else in life, all that other stuff, anything, it's worthless compared to knowing Christ. So what do I want to do, Paul says? Well, I want to know Christ. When the scripture says to know Christ, is that talking about having intellectual knowledge of him? Well, that's part of it, right? But it isn't just that. To know is what? It's personal, relational. You know things about your partner. You know things about your friends. You know things about them, facts about them. But knowing facts about them is not the same thing as knowing them, is it? Well, he wants to know. He doesn't want to just know facts about Jesus. He wants to know him. Personal, relational. I want to know Christ. And what else? I want to experience his mighty power. That power that raised him from the dead. I want to know that power in my life. I want to know that power that has the ability to transform me and change me, to make me more like him. I want to know Christ. I want to know that power, that transforming power to make me more like him. Now, all of us, we were saying, yes, amen, amen. Who's on board with that? I want to know Christ. I want to know that power. Are you on board with that? Well, guess what else comes with it? What else does he want to know? I want to suffer with him. Who's still on board, right? Sorry, folks, it's a package deal. If you want to know him, if you want to know his power, then it means you suffer for him too, suffer with him. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean I want to suffer? It means then that there's a cost to following Jesus, isn't there? Dying to self, renouncing sin, repentance. Repentance is a lifestyle, isn't it? It's not a one-time choice. It's a lifestyle. And being identified with him means that what? You might be subject to scorn, persecution, hatred from others because of your association with him. So when we suffer with him, it means we're identifying with him in his rejection, in his persecution and suffering. Now, we don't identify with him in his suffering on the cross. He took that upon us, or he took that upon himself for us, right? But we identify with him. We identify with him in his sufferings, in that rejection and scorn and hatred that he experienced. We suffer with him in that. So I want to know him. I want to experience his power. I want to suffer with him. So that in doing all of this, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection out of the grave, out of the corpses, literally. Now, in some translations there, it may seem a little, it's like, so that if somehow I may attain to it, like it's questionable whether or not he's going to actually receive the resurrection from the dead. But don't misunderstand that. He's not saying there's any question about whether or not we will be resurrected from the dead. We will. But what he's saying there is so that somehow I may attain one way or another. He's talking about the manner by which he will attain. We all, if you're a believer in Jesus, we all will attain to the resurrection from the dead, won't we? So why does it sound iffy in some translations? Because he's saying we don't know how that will happen. In his case, he didn't know if he was going to die a natural death, or if he would die a martyr's death, or if he would be raptured. So that somehow I may attain to it, one way or another. Whether I die naturally, whether I die a martyr's death, or whether I'm raptured, I will attain to the resurrection from the dead. And the same is true for you and me today, right? We may die natural deaths. We may die a martyr's death. Or we may be raptured. But whatever it is, we will attain to the resurrection of the dead. So I want all of these things. I want to be made perfect in Christ. But Paul says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So you and me, Paul here, we must all press on to perfection. We're called to perfection, which can be understood as maturity in the faith. Are any of us going to reach absolute perfection here? No, absolutely not. Will we reach absolute perfection? Yes, we will, in His presence. But until then, we're called to press on, keep moving toward it. Now, when you say press on, that's the idea of what? That there's opposition, difficulties, obstacles coming at you. But what do? You press on. Now, if you're really hungry and there's a great meal set before you there, do you have to press on to eat that dinner? No, that's not difficult to do that, is it? You don't press on to finish your dinner when you're really hungry and it's a delicious meal. So what do you press on? You press on for the stuff that's hard, that's costly, that may require sacrifice, that's painful. Well, I'm going to press on to know Christ, to experience His power, to suffer with Him, to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I'm going to press on to do all of those things, no matter what. Like a runner who's exhausted but keeps going until he or she crosses that finish line. In order to do that, then, I need to forget the past. See, I'm going to focus on one thing. I'm going to press on no matter what to cross that finish line, to receive the heavenly reward. So I'm going to press on to do that. In order to do that, I'm going to forget the past. Meaning what? Anything and everything that holds us back. I need to lay that, I need to put that back. I need to forget about it and keep moving forward. Forget the past, everything that holds us back. More on that in just a little bit. Because there are some things we do need to remember, right? But we'll look at that in a little bit. So I need to look forward to what lies ahead. Well, what lies ahead? What lay ahead for him? What lies ahead for us? Well, it's Christ's work in us and His kingdom now. In this life, what He's doing, certainly. But I think primarily what He has in mind is that end goal of all of this, what lies ahead. What lies ahead for Him? What lies ahead for you, for me, which is ours by faith in Christ? Well, it's the experience of perfect righteousness. See, we have it right now as a gift from Christ, but we don't experience that perfect righteousness, do we? But we will. So it's the practical experience of that perfect righteousness. It's the resurrection body. Anybody looking forward to trading in your old model for the new model body? Yep. It's heavenly reward. Remember, we said before, what you do, what I do, what we do here and now matters for eternity. God is going to reward all that is done for Him, and He will not forget one thing. He will reward. And then finally, it's what? It's the new heaven and the new earth. See, that's what lies ahead. Perfect righteousness experience, the resurrection body, heavenly reward, a new heaven and a new earth. So forgetting the past, I'm going to press on toward all of that. That's what lies ahead. So I'm going to press on to the end of the race. You know, Paul loved athletic metaphors in Scripture. One of the ones he really liked was running a race. It's been said, what, the Christian life, following Jesus, it's not a sprint. What is it? It's a marathon. What's the difference between a sprint and a marathon? A sprint is what? It's brief, it's short. It's like, man, you come out of the gate and you're given every bit of ounce of energy you have to run as hard as you can because it's a very short duration race, right? A marathon, do you start a marathon running as hard as you can? No, because you're not going to make it 26.2 miles doing that, are you? Well, you see, that's the Christian life. It's a marathon. So he says, and I want to reach the that finish line. So I'm going to press on to reach the end of the race, and when I do, I'm going to receive the prize. Well, the prize is heavenly reward. The prize is all that God has promised you and me. It's our hope. Perfection in Christ, the resurrection body, heavenly reward. A new heaven and new earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Right. That's literal. The new earth. So if we're going to do that, if we're going to forget the past and press on to that, I want us to think for a minute here about things to forget and some things not to forget. So what are the things that we need to forget? We need to forget our sins and our failures. We cannot be bound by our sins and our failures. Has anybody here failed? Has anybody sinned? We all have, right? But we cannot be bound by that. We need to forget self-reliance, self-righteousness. We are saved by grace through faith. We are also sanctified, or we grow, how? Through our own self-righteous efforts? No, by grace through faith. So we need to forget our sins and our failures. We need to forget our self-righteous efforts to attain righteousness. We may need to forget our wounds and our hurts. You know, I want to talk to you a little bit more about this on another occasion. But you know, this is something that I have been working through of late. That I realized that, you know what, there was a wound or a hurt from my past that I discovered. How did anybody here know that you can have something that hurt you that even decades later can still hurt you very powerfully and you didn't even know it? How many of you knew that? How many of you just discovered it? Like, what? I knew it in my head, but understanding it really fully, deeply, no. You know, so there was something. I mean, this was 30 years ago. It was a love that was lost. I still love this woman. I always will. But I realize now that the hurt from that is still buried in there. It's just as powerful as it was 30 years ago, and I didn't know that. See, that's the kinds of things we need to forget. How about this? How about the accomplishments and successes and the good things? Even that, why? Because we can get lulled into a sense of satisfaction. Even the good things, we need to forget that and press on. Well, what shouldn't we forget? Well, first of all, we shouldn't forget the lessons we learned. Should we? We should not forget the lessons that we learned through our sins and our failures, through our wounds, our hurts. We shouldn't forget to give thanks to God, gratitude to God for what He has done in our lives, for the good things that He has worked through in our pain. We shouldn't forget the victories that God has done in us and through us. Forget the sins and the failures. Forget the wounds and the hurts. Forget the accomplishments and the successes. Forget self-righteous efforts. But don't forget the lessons learned. Don't forget the gratitude to God for what He does in our pain to work for good. Don't forget the victories that God has given us and worked in us and through us. Don't forget those things. I warned you at the beginning of the message. See, so far you're thinking, well, wait a minute. I'm not upset with anything like that. That's not. Well, I want you to get your pitchforks and your torches ready. See, I'm even giving you a fair warning here, all right? I've said this before, kind of hinted at it, and I feel like, especially in light of the events of this past week, it needs to be said. I want to show that there are so many things that can distract us from pressing on this race to Christ-likeness, to perfection in Christ. There are so many things that can distract us. There are so many things that can rob us of our joy and hinder our testimony. One of the things that I think that can hurt us as believers, that can hurt us and rob us of our joy and can mar our testimony before others, is politics. I want you to know I hurt for our country. I know many of us do. I hurt for what I see going on all around us. I'm very engaged in things. I want to know what's going on. I think I have opinions. How many of you know I have opinions about things? Okay? We all do. I want you to know that I hurt for our country. I grieve for our country. And I've got opinions about it all, too. And I want you to know, too, that I know that we need to be engaged as believers in these things, don't we? If you don't believe that, go back and rewatch the Cultural Zeitgeist series, okay? We need to know. We need to understand. We need to be engaged. We need to speak truth in love. We're called to be salt and light. I get it. I know. But I want to tell you, as your pastor now, get those pitchforks and torches ready. There are some of us that are just too consumed by this politics stuff. And you know what it is? It's the garbage. That it's the garbage compared to what? The infinite value of knowing Christ. Be concerned, pray, engage. I weep along with you at some of this stuff. But stop elevating it to the place where we're known more for arguing about politics than following Jesus. It's all passing away, folks. It's all passing away. Don't give it more importance than it should. What's important? Knowing Jesus. Pressing on. I hope I've made it clear. Pastor Dan did not say, don't have opinions and don't be involved and don't speak out about this. No. Is that what I said? What did I say? Don't elevate it to this level where we're putting it on the level there, like it's of the same importance as knowing Jesus. And we're allowing it to rob us of our joy and to hurt our testimony sometimes too. I see believers, you know, the social media stuff. You know, there's value in social media, isn't there? But there's also there's also a downside to it. And I see followers of Jesus on there acting in very unchristlike ways, saying very unchristlike stuff, obsessed with unchristlike stuff, the garbage, instead of knowing Christ. Okay, does anybody want to get your pitchforks and your torches down? All right. So what? Because all else is worthless compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ, let us forget the past and press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize. So what are you depending on to be right with God? Your pedigree? Your right doctrine? Your good works? I hope not. What should we be depending on? Christ. The righteousness of Christ. What do you value most in life? By the way, when Paul says that because all else is worthless compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ, he's not saying that there aren't good things in life that have value and are worth, right? But he's saying what? Compared to knowing Christ is what it's all about. The all this other stuff is worthless compared to that. So what do you value? Do you value knowing Christ? more than anything else, what do you need to forget? Or is there some sins and failures that are weighing you down? Have you confessed those? Have you received God's forgiveness? Do you know how loved you are? Do you know you're forgiven? Let it go. Is there a hurt? Then maybe you need to talk to someone about that. Forget the things that need to be forgotten. Don't forget the things that need to be remembered. But forget the things that need to be forgotten and press on. Press on to receive the prize, that upward call of God. It's all that God has promised. It's our hope. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you would help us to forget the past, to forget those things that we need to forget. It's our sins, our failures, our hurts, our wounds, our self-reliance. Lord, even our successes and accomplishments that can lull us into a false sense of satisfaction. Help us, Lord, to forget those things and to press on to receive the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you for our hope in Him. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.